Unveiling the secrets A-list copywriters use to make themselves and their clients millions. This is the Copywriters Podcast with your host, the world's greatest copywriting coach, David Garfinkel.
If you're involved in copywriting in any way, you know we're at an inflection point right now. Things have been changing so fast over the last couple of years, and they show no signs of slowing down. Quick example, people who hire copywriters tell me it's harder than ever to find a good one. Yet people who write copy for a living, many of them, tell me it's hard to get good paying work these days. Clearly a disconnect. And I'd say AI has a lot to do with it. The very definition of what a copywriter is, what a copywriter does, seems to be in flux. So today I want to suggest five copywriting goals for 2026. And these are based on how I was able to help my mentoring clients solve problems, what they asked me about, what we worked on, how I was able to help them improve their marketability over the past 12 months. Now, I work with established copywriters and business owners who use direct response. And what I help them with on a very personal, customized basis would be a good idea for everyone who listens to this podcast. Just after you listen to this. Copy is powerful. You're responsible for how you use what you hear in this podcast, and most of the time, common sense is all you need. But if you make extreme claims, and if you're writing copy for offers in highly regulated industries like health, finance, and business opportunity, you may want to get a legal review after you write and before you start using your copy. My larger clients do this all the time. Let's start with a request I got a week ago from an old friend who was also a client 20 years ago, Harlan Kilstein. He had just written a book. I'm not talking about 20 years ago. I'm talking about last week. He just finished another book, and he asked me if I would write the foreword. I'm telling you this because the topic of the book is very much on everyone's mind, especially freelance copywriters. It's how to get paid what you're worth when you're writing copy that brings in the bucks. Now, I've asked Harlan to come on the podcast next week and talk about this, and he said he would. But for now, I want to share an insight I had while writing the foreword to his book. Harlan wrote a book about something I started that he developed and turned into something spectacular. It was a step-by-step method to get paid for value delivered rather than the hours you put in or the word count. Now, my insight has not to do with that part, but with the something I started part. Because the entire impetus for Harlan's book was this. I came up with one idea on the spot, new idea, implemented the idea, and I used that to get Harlan, a newbie copywriter, $12,500 for a copywriting job 20 years ago. In developing my idea into a system, a course, and eventually a book, Harlan used some of his unusual skills, including a nearly photographic memory and an almost supernatural ability to reverse engineer something into a method anyone can learn. So he used those skills to develop his method using something he observed me doing. And that was fine with me. You can't copyright an idea, and anyway, I wasn't going to teach it or sell it myself. Back in the day, he took that method, put together a $997 training program, $997, called it value-based copywriting, and trained dozens of copywriters to get paid closer to what they're worth instead of dramatically undercharging. Now he's written a book about it, and that was where writing the foreword comes in. As I was writing, this is what I realized. This, what I did to get him that 12.5, is what I do all the time for my clients. I really do, and I believe it's what sets me apart from most or probably all other copywriting coaches. I take in a situation, define the problem to be solved, put together a method I might use once to solve it using available tools and methods and my imagination, and I solve it in the moment, right away, even if I've never faced a problem like that before. Reading Harlan's book before I wrote the foreword made me realize that. Most of the methods I develop for my clients never see the light of day because my work is generally confidential And my clients have paid a lot of money for the information, so most people keep it to themselves. And I'm not going to change that today. I'm not going to give away anyone else's secrets who don't want to give it away themselves. But what I will do is talk in general about some of the biggest problems my clients have had and the kinds of solutions we've developed. And where I can, I'll go into very specific detail. Because I think that's the most realistic basis for 5 copywriting goals in 2026. So let's get to these goals. You'll see quickly how they apply to you and how you should make plans to get to work on them right away.
Before we jump into it, I want to kind of emphasize the point. AI has kind of put a false perception out there right now that copywriting is becoming a commodity. And a lot of business owners are thinking, well, I can just tell ChatGPT or Claude what I want a sales letter for. Why do I need a copywriter? And a lot of copywriters are also in that same mindset. And so it's making it to where business owners don't want to pay as much, and copywriters are starting to question their own value. And so when you have both people in that mindset, you're going to run into, well, we can't find good copywriters, and I can't get clients to pay me what I'm worth.
Yeah, that's a real problem. And we're going to talk about those things. You hit the nail on the head. That's kind of what's causing this inflection point. Mm-hmm. So yeah, let's get into it. And actually, that's the first goal. It has directly to do with AI. It's learn how to use AI to make your copy better, not worse. And I know we've got 5 goals. I'm going to spend more than 1/5 of my time on this because this is so vitally important. There's a lot to it. Learn how to use AI to make your copy better, not worse. If you use AI to make your work more valuable, you're winning. If you use AI to drag down your quality and value, that is just the wrong way to go, and you need to fix that. I'll give you some context and guidelines here. Let me start with a custom GPT I created as part of an AI copywriting secrets promotion I was part of with John McIntyre. So I created a GPT that helps you write 3 kinds of persuasion stories: problem-solution stories, improved status stories, and stories about pressures from other people. Now, I want you to notice that I did not create a GPT that writes stories for you. That's almost a guaranteed way to make your copy worse. Because AI has no sense of language, tone, context, taste, or texture. But AI is very good at doing mechanical tasks. So that's what this AI does. And I want you to notice how much it depends on your own way of expressing your content to help you while making it much easier to get the job done. I'm going to go into real detail here. I'm going to read you a prompt. It's not going to take forever. So we can drill down and my point will become clearer. I use ChatGPT to create prompts by asking it to create a prompt, by telling it what I want the prompt to do and asking it how to do it in the best way. And this is what I asked it. I would like you to put together a prompt I can use in a custom GPT that does the following. It greets the user by telling them this GPT is designed to ask them questions so they can easily write 3 types of stories from David Garfinkel's Persuasion Story Code, which has 25 types of stories in it in all. The 3 types of stories are problem-solution story, improved status story, and story about pressure from other people. Tell the user to only include verified facts in their answers, and for best results, answer each question with 1 or 2 sentences. Also say, of course, whenever you write with AI, you need to make sure the statements you end up using in your story are accurate. The GPT then asks the user which type of story it would like them to help create by asking questions. The answers are multiple choice on a numbered list. The numbers are 1, problem-solution story, 2, improved status story, and 3, story about pressures from other people. Here are the questions that the GPT should ask the user one at a time after they choose which kind of story they want to write. And I'm only going to share questions from one story, otherwise it's just going to get too detailed. But if you were using the GPT and you said, I want to do a problem solution story, it would ask you these questions one at a time and would wait for your answer to be typed in before it asked you the next one. One, what specific problem was the person facing that needed to be solved? Two, how is this problem affecting their life or business? Three, what solution did they discover or implement? Four, how did they apply this solution to their specific situation? And five, what measurable results did they achieve after implementing the solution? Okay, so I just read you a good chunk of this GPT that came as part of a $100 upsell. What I want to do is analyze what I did and point out how this is designed to make your writing better, not worse. There's a lot of preventative language in there to protect your quality. For instance, I ask the end user to only use verified facts. I ask it to ask the user to answer in only one or two sentences. I ask it to ask the questions one at a time. So what the user ends up with after they answer the questions is a combined list of five answers, one to two sentences each. Here's the important part. It's in their language, not the AI's. Their recollection of a particular experience, progression, and solution. So it's unique and personal. I did a number of other things using AI with individual clients. One I can tell you about without breaching any confidentiality is a copywriter who's a client who's also a copy chief at a business. He liked the training I was giving him as part of the copywriting, the one-on-one training, and he asked me how he could give a light version of it to the copywriters he managed. What I did for him is I found a special version of a very good book on copywriting fundamentals in PDF form. Then I created a set of prompts that would take that specific material for each chapter and create a lesson in three parts: a slide deck, summarizing key points, a script, fleshing out the key points, and a quiz based on the content in the chapter. Again, I had never done this before. My client had a need, and I came up with a solution. I realize now that this skill I have may not be the most valuable thing I do for my clients, but it's probably what's most unique about my coaching. In the first chapter of this PDF book for my client, I did all three things, slide deck, script, and quiz, and he was easily able to use my prompts pretty quickly and effortlessly to create future lessons for later chapters in the book. I have more examples about AI, but we'll never get to the four other goals in the time that we have if we don't wrap this up. I will say I spent hundreds of hours last year learning about AI in groups, watching videos, and trying things out, and creating prompts and creating custom GPTs. So I have a lot of knowledge and experience to back up the three takeaways I'm going to give you before we move on. One, you need to do your thinking up front and not rely on the AI to do it. Two, you need to provide enough content in your own voice so AI has a pretty good idea, and yet you still need to vet it afterwards. And three, AI is really good at taking existing well-structured content into a new format like a slide deck and a presentation script. The important thing with the slide deck, the presentation script, and the quiz is that the original thinking, editing, focus, and intention were already worked out in the PDF edition of the book. The mistake would be trying to get AI to work those things out for you. That's how you end up with really shitty content that AI is so famous for.
I'm thinking of somebody saying, I need a problem solution story to help me sell these new coffee filters on my e-commerce store. And that's the prompt that they give it. And one of the things that I've learned is that by letting it work without the guardrails, you're going to end up with a lot of fluff. You're going to end up with a lot of inaccurate stuff. You're going to end up with very generic sounding copy. But when you do what you're talking about and you go through the pre-work of letting it know the exact guardrails that you want it to stay on. I tend to do a lot of brainstorming before I even start writing. I start off with, this is the main idea that we're wanting to get across. This is the style that I want it in. This is the mindset that the reader is in. A lot of, and then back and forth, what am I missing here? After I give it a bunch of my own guardrails, what am I missing? What might I not be considering? And then start writing, totally different outcome.
Yeah, I mean, that's perfect. What you just said is what I think you should do to keep it from looking like AI writing. And, you know, You do the thinking, you let AI do the mechanical stuff. All right, so that's the first goal. Second goal is focus on increasing your value, not your output or hours worked. Value in the eyes of your client comes from two things. First, results. Second, informed, sincere, believable appreciation. I did quite a bit of coaching on these topics this year. Most of it's pretty confidential, so I'm not going to talk about a lot of it. But what I will say is AI has made volume of copy and time spent creating copy almost irrelevant in determining fees. After all, you can write a few sentences into a prompt and have a 3,000-word sales letter in a few minutes. Again, I've done it. I've seen it. Question is, how valuable are those 3,000 words? We'll get to that in a minute. But let me say first, I've heard of a few studies this year, all of which go the same way, something like this. A number of corporations were surveyed on how AI has added to profitability or not. 95% of those surveyed said nothing profitable has come out of their efforts with AI. Now, I haven't heard of any surveys specifically about AI-generated copy, but I bet if you did one, you'd find the same thing. We just talked about how to use AI and how not to use AI, and the key thing to remember is, until you discover how to use AI to get results, you are wasting your time. You are not providing value, you're just providing volume, and oh, by the way, garbage. As for appreciation, have you ever noticed how ChatGPT will praise you for whatever you say? Here is my plan to set thousands of dollars worth of lumber on fire. Cool idea, David, even if it's a terrible idea. In other words, with AI, it's reflexive praise. It's like a knee-jerk reaction. It's not informed or sincere praise, and it's certainly not believable. The point is, once you start to get good at things AI will never get good at, you've put yourself ahead in the race. And two of those things, at least of today, as of today, are results and authentic praise.
You can tell ChatGPT, hey, I walked on water today. And ChatGPT will say, that's amazing. Here's five ways to monetize that. One note that I wanted to add to this. As AI gets more adopted by mainstream normies, it's just going to get worse. As it becomes a mainstream product, how do we get users hooked on the product? Let's constantly reinforce positive affirmations towards the user is going to get worse. And the general use, ChatGPT, somebody cut me off in traffic today. How do I handle this problem? More so than ChatGPT, I run an industry where only 0.3% of the population have any idea what I'm talking about. The more mainstream uses that the majority of the users are using it for is what they're going to focus on. So the ability to really hone it in for your specific use is going to become more and more important. So I think that that's a major takeaway that people need to understand from what you were talking about.
Yeah, thanks. I agree. That's really well put. All right, let's move away from AI now and talk about some other goals for the year. Third goal would be, and this is for individual copywriters, so hear me out, get better at managing and training other copywriters. People don't talk about this much, but it's becoming a thing. Two of my clients, in very different circumstances, one a freelancer, won a copy chief have needed to develop these skills over the last year, and I've been happy to help them. I already told you about the copy chief. Another client, a very successful freelancer, was brought into a new business, and this is like within the last month, both to write copy and to work with other writers who were already there, as well as other marketing people, as a boss. He had great social skills, still does, has great social skills, but he had zero experience managing, supervising, training, or coaching. I made some suggestions, and he's been following them. There were no particular expectations from the people he was brought in to work with, so they were delighted by the way he started working with them, treating them, talking with them, asking questions, being interested in them, finding out what they did, not coming on like a ton of bricks. He's been fully accepted, and part of his large monthly paycheck for his client comes from that, not just from his copy. So here are a couple of takeaways for you. First of all, for copywriters, it's no longer just about the copy. If all you can do is write great copy, you'd better be part of that 1/10 of the top 1% of the best in the world, or your opportunities for gigs and income growth could be severely limited. Develop other skills. It's the rare freelancer who can manage other writers, but good things happen when you become one of those rare people. The second takeaway is, think about what you could do to add value and make a business owner's life easier or a manager's life easier that AI can't do. Develop those skills and offer to help out. This really goes back to goal number two, focus on increasing your value.
I think that this one thing is what will set you apart from everybody fighting for a seat at the table to being the in-demand copywriter. This, and you mentioned, it's not really about your copywriting. It's about that extra thing that clients get when they hire you over all of the other decent copywriters fighting for attention.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard people talk about being a full stack marketer, which kind of goes in the other direction. It's like, you know, not just copy, but media buying and, you know, I don't know, conversion rate optimization. Those are all good things. But, you know, the thing about a business is there are people and they need to work together and there's teamwork. I mean, gosh, Napoleon Hill, Henry Ford, they talk about that way back in the day. That's you know, it's certainly a wealth formula. Don't know if it's the only one, but it's important if you want to continue to get paid to write your copy. Go ahead.
I think the thing that stands out to me is a lot of copywriters get into copywriting because they're a little bit introverted and they don't necessarily have the best people skills. That's why a lot of copywriters avoid doing the interview work that they need to do to write good copy. And being part of a team, being a valuable member of a team, requires those people skills that a lot of copywriters don't master, don't learn. And if you do, in my opinion, those are more valuable than being a full stack marketer.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I didn't put full stack marketer in this list of goals. All right, let's get to the fourth goal. It's a quickie, but it's important. Get better at demonstrating the value of your work. This is actually one of the hardest things for service providers, including copywriters, to do, but it's possible. One of my clients, not a copywriter, business owner, has unusual skills, knowledge, and experience in his business. He provides a valuable service, and his contracts can go anywhere from a few hundred dollars to six figures. This year, with some guidance from me, he put together four special reports showcasing his exotic knowledge that his prospects, especially the high-end prospects, would be unlikely to have and would find interesting and valuable and possibly useful in their own situation. His competitors probably don't have this knowledge either. The reports were entertaining but also packed with value. They showed prospects how some of my clients' special services could save them money as well as increase the value of their own assets. For copywriters, getting better at demonstrating the value of your work should also mean getting testimonials, reports of results, specific numbers from individual promotions, samples of your work and the ability to convey the value of what you do when you're talking about it in live pitches to your prospects. The takeaway here is pretty simple. Everything you can do that AI can't do, especially the part that leads to financial results or otherwise increased confidence on the part of your client, is an important part of the value you bring. Once you've identified what it is, you need to make it easy for prospects and clients to realize it. And the goal should include not only gathering evidence and other material, but improving your ability to convey this in your marketing and selling.
Rather than just focusing on repeating theory, showing actual results. This is what I found on emailing and social media posting. Instead of, here's a quick copywriting tip, just showing the results. Dude, check out this page. We made this one switch and look at the back end. Watch how much the conversion rate jumped from this one switch. Showing those results makes it real easy for people to see the value without having to go into deep theoretical talk.
That really crystallizes the point. Thank you. That's good. All right. Fifth goal, improve your communication skills besides copywriting. This is a little painful to say. I've known some brilliant copywriters who are quietly left out of some key opportunities because their other communication skills just weren't that hot. Communication skills are often derisively referred to as soft skills by hardcore math and engineering types. But do these people get invited to the coolest parties? I'll just let that one sit there a second. I do want to point out that this year, three clients asked me for help in the skill of asking questions and interviewing. It's not a standard copywriting skill, but it's important, first in research, and secondly, the asking questions part in managing client communication. In managing and in client communication, including coaching, which includes a very specific type of question designed to open awareness without opening wounds. If you don't know how to do that, learn. A copywriter who can get along with people and actually coach junior people is going to be increasingly in demand as time goes on. As I mentioned before, one of my clients ventured past being a copy chief to also being a trainer and presenter for his team. I helped him with the material, slide deck, quiz, presentation content, but I also coached him on some basic presentation skills. Since writing copy is no longer the end-all and be-all for most copywriters who want to make a living at it, expanding your communication skill set is vitally important and will become even more important in the future.
I think of like prima donnas, people that are the top of the top of whatever it is that they do, and they can go to the concert hall and say, I want all green M&Ms in a crystal bowl inside of the dressing room, and if they're not all green M&Ms, I'm going to throw a fit, and they can get away with it and still demand a high price for their performance. But that same person who's really good at what they do, but also has a warm presence, also makes people feel invited, makes people feel inspired and confident in them, will go leagues further. And so it's the combination of being really good at what you do and having those good, what you called soft skills.
Yeah. I mean, you see it all the time, and it's easy to disparage it if you're secretly afraid of it or embarrassed that you don't have it, but it's better to just get good at these things. You don't have to be the best in the world, just have to make the effort. And it is possible to learn even if you don't think it is. So let's recap the five goals I'm suggesting you have as a copywriter for 2026. Number one, learn to use AI to make your copy better, not worse. Two, focus on increasing your value, not your output or your hours worked. Three, get better at managing and training other copywriters. Four, get better at demonstrating the value of your work. And five, get better at communication skills beyond copywriting. So I do have a couple of spots that opened up for mentoring. You really need to be doing pretty well to afford it, to make it a good ROI. As you can see, I put a lot more into it than teaching you how to write headlines and good hooks, although that is certainly a big part of it. So go to my website if you're interested, read about it, and then, you know, submit an application. It's also, the spots could, one of them could be filled by a business owner. If you're a business owner who wants to learn copy, it's garfinkelcoaching.com. And if the idea of persuasive storytelling grabs you and you haven't yet got the book, please get, here we go, Persuasion Story Code on Amazon. And we'll put the link in the show notes for both of those.
All right. So links to Garfinkel Coaching, links to get Persuasion Story Code will both be in the show notes over at copywriterspodcast.com, as well as 450 plus other episodes. So head on over there, get your fill, and make 2026 your year as a copywriter. David, thank you so much for putting this together, man.
Hey, you're welcome. Thank you.
All right.
And see you next week.
See you next time.
Okay, bye. Stories are the most powerful way to get and hold a prospect's attention. Of course, you already know that. But the problem many of us have had is, even though stories are absolute magnets for getting attention, they don't do that much to advance the sale. That's because the way most of us have been taught to tell stories was not with persuasion in mind. I decided to change that. So I looked at what I had learned in studying story and writing copy for decades, as well as coaching all-star copywriters. What I had learned about stories that persuade, and I wrote a book. It's called The Persuasion Story Code. It tells you exactly how to create and use stories to move the sale forward. Lots of stories. I'm including examples of 25 different kinds with step-by-step guidelines for putting your own persuasion stories together. You can get The Persuasion Story Code on Amazon.com. Check it out. You'll be glad you did.